your friends in Jesus Christ. Let's be honest. When a person continues in unrepentance, he will end up in hell. Nobody wants to really think about that, but the Bible is so clear on that topic, it's important to address it while everyone has opportunity to repent, because finally, when Christ comes, there will be no more opportunity to repent. Thinking about last week for a moment, we took a look at the beginning of Luke chapter 16. Today, we're going to take a look at the middle and also at the end of Luke chapter 16. Jesus told that parable about the unbelieving man who was unfaithful in managing his boss's possessions. As we think about that parable, it's one of the more difficult ones that Jesus told. But what was the purpose of that parable, or even purposes here? For the believers, Jesus wants us to understand the importance of applying God's money management principles to our lives. And what did I say, or what did I show you right from the Bible will happen when we actually step out in faith and do what the Bible says in regard to managing our money? God promises that he will increase what we have. He will even greatly increase what we have. And then the second part is God wants us to use the increase not for things that we want in this world, but he wants us to use the increase in order to extend his kingdom. Remember how the unfaithful manager, he was doing what he was doing, trying to secure friends in this life. And what did Jesus say for us as ones who follow him? He said that we should be using what we have been given in order to secure friends for ourselves in eternity. So that involves extending the kingdom of God in this life. In between the two parables, well, let me touch on the Pharisees here first of all. Now, Jesus was speaking directly to the disciples, but we had Pharisees who were listening to what he said. What did he want for them? The Pharisees, they were ones who loved money. So they said they love God, but in fact they love money, and Jesus was calling them to repent. He wanted them to receive God's forgiveness. And then we have this little section in between. So in verses 16, 17, and 18, Jesus mentioned another sin of the Pharisees. So he mentioned how they have this practice of finding a wife and getting married, and then after a short time, he doesn't like something about her, and he divorces her. Then he marries again, divorces again, marries again, divorces again, and they thought this was okay. They're trying to cite something that Moses said in the Old Testament, and Jesus makes it clear, you're not following the Word of God. So earlier on, he's telling them, you're supposed to love God, but instead you love money, and he reminds them, God knows your heart. God knows what's going on. And then he tells them, the Bible says marriage is a lifelong union, and now here you are marrying and divorcing over and over again. So he's saying to them, you guys are in trouble, and now that we move into the next parable, what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that if you continue what you're doing without repentance, just like the rich man, you're going to end up in hell. What about for us? Are we doing okay? Hey, we're sinners too. God wants us to take repentance in a very serious way. So as we come to this parable, let's understand that here's the rich man. And he might be thinking, wow, look at all this stuff I have. Look at how much God is smiling down upon me. And he might be presuming that because everything is fine in this life, automatically as I slide over into eternity, everything is going to be fine too. God wants us to know that is not true. What is one feature of hell that we don't really think about too often? A feature of hell is that every blessing of God is removed. So right now, Jesus said, God sends the rain both on the righteous and the unrighteous. The blessings of God are being showered upon all people. However, though, when people get to the end of their lives without repentance, at that moment, all blessings are removed, and now that person will go all through eternity without the blessings of God. It's easy to presume, oh, I didn't pay much attention to God here, and I was being blessed, so probably in eternity, the same thing is going to happen. God wants us to know that is not true. If you look at Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it's telling us that all these blessings are coming upon us because of the kindness of God. They're not coming upon us because we deserve them. They're not guaranteed for eternity. They're coming upon us because of the kindness of God so that we might repent and we might be with Him forever. So that's where we're headed with this whole thing. I want you to see how everything ties together in this chapter. Let's go ahead and get into the parable itself here. So at the beginning, we see the unbelief with the rich man, and we see how he had heartless selfishness. It's like he was so selfish, it's unbelievable. We pick up in verse 19, the text says, "Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, enjoying himself in splendor every day, and a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed from the scraps which fell from the rich man's table. Not only that, the dogs also were coming and licking his sores." So what can we say about the rich man? He was wearing the clothing of kings and nobles. He had a great abundance of all that he needed. He had all that he needed and so much more, and he thoroughly enjoyed himself every day. Hey, sounds kind of nice, doesn't it? But what was the problem, though? Well, we have the poor man. The poor man was beggarly poor. He had nothing. He was unable to walk. Did you notice? He had to be carried and laid at the gate of the rich man. He had some kind of a disease, the Bible indicates. So he was placed in a strategic location. He was placed where the rich man and his friends would walk past poor Lazarus every single day. But what happened, though, the rich man, and we could include his friends, they did nothing to help the poor man. But as a small consolation, God sent dogs in order to lick the wounds of Lazarus. A very sad situation. And then in the second part here, each man died physically. Jesus said, "Now it happened that the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's arms." So it doesn't say heaven, but let's understand when Jewish people were thinking about Abraham, they understood that the arms of Abraham, that was a reference to heaven. So the poor man, he dies, he's carried away by the angels to heaven, and the rich man also died and was buried. So in life, both of the men were very different, and also in death, they were very different. For example, when we think about the body of the poor man, he was probably placed in some kind of a potter's field, a field where people are buried who are either unknown or extremely poor. What happened to the rich man when he died? You can imagine he was probably given a very grand funeral and a very extravagant burial. So when you think about how they lived, when you think about how they left this life, boy, you would sure think that that rich man, he kind of had it all, and look at that great funeral, and he's probably enjoying time now with God in heaven. It just kind of all fits together that way. And this poor Lazarus, he was so poor, he had to beg, he was sick, he had nobody probably come when they had his funeral, and probably God was somehow against him, and now he's in trouble forever. Like, we could come to those kinds of conclusions, but it just wasn't true. Let's understand that each man in his soul was in a very different location. So the poor man, he died with his trust in the Messiah. He died with his trust in the Messiah, and he was taken to a place of comfort, a place of peace. That's where we want to go. What about with the rich man, though? Died in unrepentance. He had the opportunity every day to be able to help Lazarus, and yet he never did. He died in unrepentance, and he was taken to a place of torment and chaos. So a very different location. And then in the fourth part here, the rich man begged for relief. So he made a request here, picking up in verse 23. And in Hades, the rich man raised his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his arms. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. So during his life, the rich man had the great abundance, but yet he showed no mercy at all to the poor man. And now what do we have? Now the rich man is seeking mercy from the poor man. Can he simply dip his finger in a cup of water and with one drop on the end of his finger, can he bring it over there and put it on my tongue? I am in such misery in this place. What was the reply? Abraham said to him, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things and likewise Lazarus bad things, but now he is being comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set, so that those who want to go over from here to you will not be able, nor will any people cross over from there to us. So Abraham spoke to the rich man, and basically he said to him, remember your abundance, and remember the misery of Lazarus, and remember your complete unwillingness to help him. Sad situation. What is the reality here? It's interesting the way Jesus sets this up. Now, does this mean that we'll be able to see people who are in torment and they'll be able to see us in heaven? We shouldn't necessarily take that away from here, but this is how Jesus tells the story, though. So Abraham is saying to the rich man, even though we can see each other, nobody from here can go over there, and nobody from over there can come over here. It's kind of difficult when you can see, but then you can't make a move on it. That is what Abraham is communicating. And then he makes a request for his brothers. So Jesus continued, Then I request of you, Father, that you send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them so that they will not come to this place of torment as well. So now it would seem the rich man finally is understanding the truth. He's understanding it's too late for him. He's stuck in this place of torment. Nobody can bring him any water. There's no way to get out. He's stuck in there forever. So he knows there is no second chance for him, but then he's thinking, I have five brothers, they're still living, they haven't died yet. If only they would repent, then they will not end up where I am. This is the answer that Abraham gave to him, and this is the answer for all people in the whole world today who are alive and who do not yet know Jesus. This is the answer for them. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Let them hear them. What's he talking about? He's saying, let your five brothers hear the law and the prophets. In other words, let your five brothers hear the scriptures, and God will work through the scriptures in order to lead them to repentance. That's what people need to know in the world today. What happens when we get into the scriptures? That is when God helps us understand that we are sinners. That is when he shows us that we are helpless to save ourselves. That is when he points us to the Messiah, who is the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sin of the world, and he is the only way to comfort and peace. All these things are known when we get into the scriptures. If we stay away from the scriptures, then we're going to be thinking that somehow, oh, I'm blessed now, and I'll be blessed forever. Or we're going to be thinking, oh, I'm a decent person now, I tried to do good, God's going to smile down on me, and therefore God's going to let me into heaven. All kinds of logical things we're going to come up with if we're apart from the Bible. But when we get into the Bible, if we do so with complete openness, and we say, God, I'm here, and I want to know the truth. Speak to me, show me, convict me, change me. When we come to the Bible in that way, God will do that work, and it will be wonderful. When I think about the world that we live in today, most of us are so busy, we don't have time to get into the Bible. If we only knew, if God only impressed upon everyone in the world, like right now, if God would show every person as to whether they're heaven-bound or hell-bound. See, so many are deceived about that. They think they're heaven-bound when many of them are hell-bound and they don't know it. What does it say there in Proverbs 14:12? There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There are many who are hanging onto something, and it makes sense, and it seems right, but it's not going to end up in heaven. Can you imagine how full the churches would be if God made it known to every person with certainty as to whether or not they were going to heaven or hell? The ones that God told them for certain about heaven, hey, they would be gathering to praise their great God. And the ones that knew for certain that without repentance they were going to hell, what would they be doing? They would be rushing to the churches to find out what the truth is so that they could be free and they could go on to heaven. But people are living in so much deception, they just don't know the truth in most cases. But this is the way, though, to be set free. And then we come to a final plea here, picking up in verse 30. The rich man said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." Well, amazing things tend to draw our attention. So it made sense to the rich man if something amazing happened, like Lazarus being raised from the dead and paying a visit to his five brothers. He's thinking, hey, if that happens, I bet then they'll believe. But that's not the case, so. We come now to the final response here. So Abraham is talking now to the rich man, and he says to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead." So think about it like this. So Abraham told the rich man, hey, miracles are amazing, but they are not God's chosen means to save. So what is then God's chosen means to save? Well, take a look here in James chapter 1. It says, God chose to give us birth. This is talking here about spiritual birth. God chose to give us birth through the word of truth. So God has chosen to work by the Spirit through the word in order to open our eyes to our need, to lead us to repent, and to give us Jesus. When I think about my own life, you guys have heard the story many times. I went to church for 20-some years, and yet I didn't use the Bible. I just went to church. I tried to pay attention, but honestly, I really didn't get what they were talking about. And it wasn't until finally God got me into reading the Bible myself, thinking about it every day, and finally, after a period of time, about 3 to 4 months being in the Bible every day in a serious way, memorizing about 20 key Bible verses, that at that moment, God changed my entire life. So just because you've been going to church a long time doesn't mean you are a Christian. God wants you to get into the truth and know for sure. Think about what Paul wrote there in 2 Corinthians 13:5. He wrote, "Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you unless you fail the test?" God wants us to test ourselves now. Don't wait until the return of Christ. Let's make sure that we know the truth now. Let me conclude like this. The question is, do blessings now point to blessings forever? I hope you know that that's not true. Instead, let's understand that blessings can be deceptive. When we have the blessings now, we can presume that God will bless us forever. But we saw here with the rich man, there's no guarantee of that. We're only blessed forever when we leave this life not knowing about Jesus, but having a saving relationship with him. That is essential. A few points here as I conclude. So repentant ones, where do they go when they die? Hey, they go to heaven. It's a great blessing from God. What about unrepentant ones? If they continue like that to the end, they are going to go to hell. God doesn't want that for anyone. God wants everyone to be saved. God has made the way for everyone in his Son. But if they continue in unrepentance, they will be apart from God forever. God works repentance. How? By his Spirit, working through his word. That's how God does it. So let us be thankful that we are repentant, that we know Jesus, and let us invite others, not so much even invite them to come to church, but let's invite them to get into the word of God in a very serious way. Let us pray. Dear Lord, please keep us believing in Jesus. Please keep us showing mercy to others, and please keep us helping them. Let us help them to get into the Bible in a serious way, and with your blessing, may they benefit from the Bible, may you lead them to repentance, and may you bring them into your kingdom. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.